Our gospel lesson today comes from Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. Let us listen to the word of God this morning. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, city that kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Living without fear. Do you think you can do it? Few people do. I'm not talking about bungee jumping or classics, whitewater rafting. Those are easy things, according to what we just read. Certainly, they require great physical skill and some guts, but that's it. If you want to live life on the edge, if you truly live without fear, then try to be a prophet. Prophets are the ones who aren't afraid to rock the status quo or to make government officials uncomfortable. They don't shy away from talking about difficult subjects, things that most people don't have the guts to say. Prophets are the folks who I qualify as living life on the edge. They frighten people in powerful positions. They know the power in their voice doesn't come from them. Instead, they speak truth in such a way powerful people want to squash it. Prophets are bold to say things others don't because they believe something far greater than consequences. They are the whistleblowers, living boldly because the message is more important than the messenger. Some more recent and famous prophets most of us know are William Wilberforce, whose political moves were rejected in the abolition of slavery, Nelson Mandela, who was sentenced to life imprisonment for dismantling apartheid, Martin Luther King Jr., who led a civil rights nonviolent resistance movement, Malala Yousafzai, a Pakistani girl shot at 15 for speaking up for girls' education rights. These aren't all of them. Many are punished, threatened, or killed for speaking the hard truths, for living life without fear. And now, much later, many are revered for standing on the right side. Now, I'm not saying that these folks weren't scared. Not saying that they didn't want to grow old, but prophets, whether of old or of today, live for something greater than themselves. It's what happened with John the Baptist, who wasn't afraid of calling it like he saw it. He wasn't afraid to say the truth against Herod. And Herod certainly knew how to squash the message by getting rid of the messenger before others grew too bold. Herod had Jesus' cousin killed for speaking the truth. And now Herod has sent the Pharisees to warn Jesus that if he wasn't careful, his number would be next. What Herod really wanted was for Jesus to leave the region right then. If he did, then Jesus would be under the authority of Pilate. He could be thrown into prison or killed for violating Roman law. Something that might have seemed like a nice warning from the Pharisees was a sly move from this fox that Jesus called. However, Jesus outmaneuvers this fox. He wasn't going to be threatened or scared of anything. Jesus knew his purpose, not only to talk about the kingdom of God, but to live into it. Jesus was living just like God intends for all of us to live. He wasn't going to be threatened for living any other way. Now, the question I have for all of us, wouldn't it be incredible if we could all live this way? If we could be so bold to live life without fear? To be unafraid of rocking the boat when we see injustice happening around us? How would you live differently in your workplace? Would you speak up for what is right, even though it might cost you your job? Would you be bold, even if you or your family faced threats? Would you be willing to live differently, even at the cost of not having luxuries? 15 years ago, I was fearless. I was willing to do anything and go anywhere, so I did. I went halfway around the world for a year as a missionary in Kenya. I was young, and I lived a bit differently than I do now. I did many things without even thinking about the consequences. Some of those things were certainly stupid, but some of them were bold. I was excited. I wasn't scared. I didn't live with fear. I believed I could change the world. Have you ever felt this way? Wondering if you lived in such a way that you could change the world. It sounds like a young person's dream, doesn't it? Unfortunately, the world usually has a good way of moving us into a different direction, conditioning us into wanting to live into the status quo, into not rocking the boat, into thinking about the consequences before doing something bold. And because of that, it's hard to live like God has intended us to. Maybe we've been hurt by a bully or a few bullies. Maybe we stepped out once and got knocked down. Sometimes even our closest friends have rejected us or betrayed us. And because of not wanting to be uncomfortable, or because we don't want to be hurt, or about how it'll affect our family, because we've learned along the way that there are real consequences in life when we rock the boat, if we act young and naive. Maybe your friend questions your motive, or a boss might have pushed back. Or even the church can get uncomfortable. Along the way, we stop living boldly. We stop living like Jesus, especially when we don't think we can change the world. When we do that, we commit the sin of not trusting in God enough. Now, Jesus faced a moment of cowering to Herod's threats, but instead, he chose to trust God, to live life boldly in the face of fear. We live in a world that wants us to be comfortable. But we're not called to a ministry of comfort, so we shouldn't be comfortable with the status quo. It's easy to think we can't change the world. It's easy to list the consequences before just doing it. The kingdom of God requires us to lift up the poor and the sick, to lift up those who are imprisoned and in desperate need of help. We're called to live boldly, to trust God, and to change the world. In Malcolm Gladwell's book, David and Goliath, he explains how misfires can actually create the opposite effect. The 50s civil rights activist and Baptist preacher Fred Shuttlesworth announced on Christmas Day he would ride city buses. He would be breaking the city's laws and ordinances by doing this because he was a black man. And that Christmas evening, the KKK bombed Shuttlesworth's home. People rushed to the scene. They feared he was dead. But it was a misfire. Yes, the house came down, but he wasn't crippled or bloodied or blind. He was barely hurt. Shuttlesworth raised a biblical hand to the concerned neighbors, saying, "The Lord has protected me. I am not injured." Gladwell explains, whatever the Klan had hoped to accomplish had gone badly awry. Shuttlesworth was now less afraid than he had been before. He refused to call off the protest like others had asked him to. And now he was fearless. A few months later, taking his daughter to be enrolled in an all-white school, he was greeted by a crowd of angry white men, and her father stepped out of the car, and they beat Shuttlesworth. But he managed to crawl back into his car with minor kidney damage, bruises, and scratches. And he checked himself out of the hospital that day and preached that evening a message of forgiveness for his attackers. Those who were trying to push him down had the opposite effect. He, in effect, added another layer of psychological armor. A third time, he took a colleague to meet Dr. King in Montgomery, Alabama, and there was an angry mob gathered at the church, no way to get to the front door. They were pushing and shoving the car. People inside the car were scared. Driver and Shuttlesworth friends. It was blocked from finding an alternative route. So Shuttlesworth gets out of the car with the other, who was frightened, and he says, "Out of the way." That's all he had to say. "Go on, get out of the way." They walked in the front door without even being touched. Bombs, fists, an angry mob, nothing would stop Shuttlesworth. How are we going to live? It means something different for everyone here. The hope you get here in this place, the prayers, the songs, the witness of Christ, the gathering of our community, it's meant to bring us closer to the kingdom of God, to bring Christ's hope every hour and every day, so that when we go out of this place, when we go out into the world, we can say, "Go on, get out of the way." We're able to live boldly. We can tell those things that frighten us the most, the bullies, the fear, the rejection, the loneliness, the world, "Get out of the way." Because we've been created to live boldly so that we can change the world. If that doesn't happen in just an hour, then join a Bible study, help organize a community service project, bring food to the hungry, do something that makes you uncomfortable. It's only the beginning of living boldly. What would it look like in your home, with your family, at work, in every aspect of your life? Start living boldly like Christ. This is the way God created us to live. Get uncomfortable, and God will change the world through you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.